Last night we were speaking about the mechanisms of identification. And I gave a number of those concepts that have been developed in the fields of psychology and psychoanalysis. But I didn't mention the main one at the level of the ego, which is that of projection and its reciprocal of projective identification. And when we are first brought into the egoic field, but not yet having a distinct boundary and an auric shield, then whatever is projected from someone who has a very definite feeling or fantasy or desire for who you should be for them, you will tend to identify with that projection. And once this tendency, this sanskara of being subject to the projections of others has become a part of the ego's way of relating, then it remains always in a state in which it is liable to be influenced by such projections wherever they come from in the field. But the more intense the relationship, the more directly and deeply influenced to fulfill the identification that is being directed upon one. And this often happens in subconscious levels of the ego. Neither the projector nor the one identifying with it is aware of what is going on. Often only afterwards does one say, wow, why did I do that? Why did I say that? What was that interaction about? And it wasn't you, it was that projection in you that was acting. And so the ego doesn't have control over those subconscious tendencies to be who the other wants you to be. And because of that, there's an inherent instability in the identity of the ego and its drive to attain a particular goal of fulfillment when it is also subject to the demand of the other to fulfill their goal. And this is often what creates the kinds of neurotic emotional volatility that people are subject to. But then the higher level of identification at the soul level is what yogis are more interested in. And that identification comes through a resonance. And the resonance is the resonance of the heart. And the heart resonates only with love. And the more love, the more benevolence, the more compassion, empathy, the more recognition of the other as soul and as a being of divine love, the more that energy comes out of a recessive a place usually buried under the egoic facade and begins to emerge into full consciousness, which is why being in an energy field of those who are soul conscious and who are in their hearts and open to love is the easiest way for one to also feel how safe it is to be vulnerable, quote-unquote, to the energy of love that otherwise could be a threat to the ego, because love originally came with projections. But at the soul level, the love comes with acceptance and without demand and without a program of the desire of the outcome of any relationship, but it is the encouragement of the development and blossoming of one's freedom to be all that one can be, not just be someone for me or for whomever one is related to. And so it is that soul level of resonance with the Sacred Heart that first frees us from the field of projections. But then beyond that is the highest level of identity, which is the one that a satyogi is most interested in. And this is when it is God's projection. It is God's choice to embody that power of supreme presence. This is known in religions as anugraha or grace or shaktipat. It has many different words depending often on the degree and the level and the permanence of this union. But it is this that produces the realization of one's identity as the self that is one with God. And it's this identity that we want to realize that gives us freedom from all the karma of the ego and the ego's activities that were not free but subject to the projections of the field, to that level of love, but love that is still requiring containment in a field, to that level of one's being that is transcendent of the field and is in fact the origin and ordainer of the outcome of all of the field phenomena and the destiny of one's life and of all life that must all ultimately return to the Godhead. And so the satyogi is concerned with maximizing the potentiality for the descent of grace to be of such an intense and total level that it completely burns away the sanskaras, the tendencies, the programming, the projections of the ego character and even the soul level of separation from God, so that there is a total oneness, which is our true nature. And so the yogi realizes that, using a metaphor that's very classic, God is the supreme sun, and each of us are rays of that sun. Each one of us, those rays produce the soul vehicle and the ego identity at any moment. But if we trace back the ray that is reaching its end point in our third eye back to its ultimate source, we are one with that supreme sun. We are not simply rays of it or heated by it from the ego's perspective or in a cold separation and nihilistic despair because we've lost touch with the sun. But in fact, we realize that the sun is ourself. And that same sun is the self of every being. And so we see God in every being, and we see God as the creator and ordainer of everything that happens to every being. And all of it is benevolent and auspicious because it is all based on supreme love. And that love, therefore, brings about the optimal outcome of the entire process of time. And in that consciousness of union with God, then one's destiny must be of the highest. But in order to receive the grace, the one prerequisite, which is the reason for the practices of Satyoga, is that we must be empty. The more empty we are of ego, of desire, of fear, of mental chatter, the more we will be filled with the fullness of God's presence. If that is our soul yearning, and if we are able to resonate at the soul level with the love of God as our only love, it is that purity of heart that brings the ultimate grace. And so this is the practice of Satyoga. And that practice is not something that requires a lot of time, but it does require humility. And it does require the ability to surrender one's own desires, plans, projections, attitudes, and beliefs, and concepts and paradigms and all of the kinds of mental detritus that we are indoctrinated with, and clearing the space of our consciousness completely so that there is a space for the holy presence of God to enter and to abide. And so this is the practice of the purification of the mind and the heart, which happens when we are making our lives into a work of service of God. Then the presence of God fills our heart and our mind and our will to live as divine beings. And this is what brings liberation. So may we all have that one yearning for the realization of our supreme beingness, and let go of all other concerns, so that the fulfillment of that yearning is not obstructed, and live in such a way, with such simplicity and such integrity, that no obstacle is karmically created that can get in the way of the fulfillment of our highest destiny. And it is this that we must use our intelligence and our graced willpower to live in accord with the Tao, the Dharma, the Logos, the will of God, so that no obstacles are self-created that delay the attainment of that grace. the sooner we are free of any obstructing desires or conflicted will, the sooner we are then able to transmit the energy of that liberation in God consciousness to all others, which is the highest act of benevolence that we can offer to the world. So may we all be such angels who are spreading the energy field of divine grace through our own realization that all is God, and the presence of the God Self here and now in the world, as the world, saturating the world with light and with joy and with bliss and with goodness and with love, brings about a transformation of the entire quantum unified field that constitutes the underlying substance and structure of all of the objects that form and decompose and disappear in the field, while the essence of the power that creates that field reaches its ultimate self-awareness that produces a transformation of the cosmos itself. And it is the self-awareness of the cosmic consciousness, of the God Self, that is the key understanding that we must grasp, without which we cannot achieve a full surrender. And it is this understanding that that supreme love, wisdom, and miraculous power to transform every life comes only from that source, not from human technological intelligence or capacity to calculate or any of that. All of it, all that is worthy, all that is good, all that is precious, all that is real, comes only from the one source. And the more that we are one with that source, the more that that power flows through us and brings freedom and goodness back to the world and all of its heavenly potentials into actualization. Blessings for your God realization. Namaste.